Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With a minute 44 left to make it a 7-point game. On the right hash, kicks away. He missed it.
Live from north of downtown Dallas, from Intercom Radio Tower, it's time for If I Were a Betting Man. Here's our host, NBC5's Pat Doney.
Hey, thank you this morning. Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Pat Doney, filling in for Sean Sharif this morning on 105.3 The Fan's Sean and RJ Show. We are going to play a little game that, guys, I play with my friends all the time. It is called If I Were a Betting Man.
Play this seemingly daily with myself.
The funny part about it is that I am not a betting man, and we play this game all the time. You are indeed a betting man, RJ, so I'm going to rely on you heavily on this. But the point is, the point of the game, you have to act as if what you are betting matters right now. Act as if your mortgage check is on the line. No flimsy bets here. You have to be very confident about how you feel about this bet. And we have the Dallas Cowboys taking on the entire NFL one by one right now, and if I were a betting man.
Right.
So here we go. To me, I think there are tiers. You guys stop me if any of you believe that I am incorrect at this point. The awful tier in the NFL. I would take the Dallas Cowboys on a neutral field, no question about it, against the Miami Dolphins. The Washington Redskins.
Exclusive.
The Arizona Cardinals and the Cincinnati Bengals. No arguments from there.
None at all.
None, of course. Okay, the next level. The bad level. The New York Giants, by the way, I have them now no longer in the awful level with Daniel Jones. I still think they're bad. Okay. I'm going to say the New York Jets, but we'll get into a little later here at 6:20 about why they may not quite be as bad as we might be thinking. Anyway, the Pittsburgh Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger and without Mason Rudolph.
So with Mason Rudolph, they're not on the bad tier.
I still think they're right on the fringe of bad and average, but I'm still taking the Cowboys against them on a neutral field, whether Mason Rudolph is in the game or not.
They're oddly competitive. These games are close.
Well, it's the NFL, man. Anybody can beat anybody except for the Dolphins.
Reminder, that defense, they're loaded. They have 8 first-rounders in their starting 11. That is, it should be a dominant defense.
Okay, yeah. So you want to slide them into average, or are you keeping them in the bag?
Oh, I think they're average. Okay. I do think I would bet on the Cowboys over them.
I would slide them to average. They are even when Rudolph got hurt, they still went to overtime with Baltimore. They played Seattle very, very close. The only game they got worked in, and I mean worked,
yeah, it was bad.
Was when Ben played.
Right. And it happened against the team that everybody is getting worked by these days. Another team that might fit that, how about the Denver Broncos?
Oh, the Denver Broncos are bad.
But they just beat the Chargers on the road this past weekend. They've got a talented defense. Mm-hmm. Vic Fangio He's been a good defensive coordinator, but Joe Flacco, not sure if he's a lead or not. What do you guys think?
What? You're not
sure? Definitely not.
It's a joke, fellas. Okay, I'm sure he's not a lead. Okay,
he's not even average.
Come on now, pick it up now.
He's not even average. They're good. They're okay. They're an okay team. They will play competitive games as well, but not nearly as competitive as the Steelers would be.
I think they're bad. So I'm going to go ahead and say the Cowboys win that game easily if they play it on a neutral field. All right, to the next level, the average level now. The Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, Mr. Minshew, the mustache is great, but...
Yeah, what are your categories above average?
There's good and there's great.
Okay, yeah,
so I wouldn't put them in the
average.
Good category.
Then they're average.
They're average.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay's average.
Probably a dozen teams in here, I think so.
The average is definitely the biggest category here because Tampa Bay, you never know what you're going to get with Jameis, man. He could go out and throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. He could go out and throw for 150 yards and 4 picks.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on him with my mortgage, certainly, because
so this might
for
be
that
the
reason.
First Cowboys-Tampa game where you're saying, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, I don't know, are you, Roy? Are you a betting man?
Not really, not anymore.
You wouldn't take the bet. Cowboys-Tampa.
I would bet on the Cowboys.
Neutral field, I would bet on the Cowboys, but... I do like Jameis. I am a Jameis guy.
Okay. So we have the option to, we're also evaluating what bets we wouldn't do the bet. Not that we would bet.
Hey, the
on
mortgage
the other
is on the
team.
Line here now, yeah. Man. Okay. I mean, let's make sure we're feeling confident about this. Okay. The next team in the average category, the Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield has been bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why. Maybe it's because they have torpedoed my fantasy teams, because I have both Baker and Odell, that I just kind of feel like at any moment that they could get it going again. But it just doesn't. It's been at best average.
I will bet against Freddie Kitchens.
Okay.
All day.
He hates the coach.
Every day.
All right.
That's it. That's all you need to know.
This one's going to pain you. How about the Atlanta Falcons being an average team?
You know,
they're
if I was playing
four.
There.
They're 1-4.
Yeah. If I was playing there in Atlanta, I wouldn't touch it. Okay. I wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. It won't pain me. They've given up more points than
their
the Redskins.
Yeah,
they're
their defense
is the
terrible.
Only team that's given up more points than them in the NFL is the Miami Dolphins. Like, they've scored 101, which isn't, you know, it's not nothing, 21 points a game or so, but they're getting killed.
Yeah, they're getting killed. I would look at this like this. Presently constructed, I would take the Cowboys easily.
Yeah.
If they got a new football coach, because they've probably quit on Dan Quinn, I would still think the Cowboys would win the game, but I wouldn't bet the game.
It is so strange to have a team with the receivers they have, yeah. Matt Ryan, you know, you would think that, I mean, I believed that Devontae Freeman was going to have a nice year running the football in Atlanta. You would think that they would be better than 1-4 and not be a team that you look at and say, I'm with you. I feel fully confident. If the Cowboys played the Falcons on Sunday in a neutral field, I'm taking the Cowboys 9 out of 10 times.
I would too. Again,
I feel very confident about
it. Yeah, if it was there, different story. And if they got a new coach, I would probably stay away, but right now, not even close. The Falcons are trash right now.
Three more teams in the average category. Oakland, even though they're 3-2, I still would put them in the average category. I still don't fully trust Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. Detroit, because I don't really know. I think their defense is really good. They've kind of found a formula, but
Matt Stafford pretty high up there on some efficiency ratings.
He's a good player. I mean, really good, but overall, if they were playing the Cowboys, I'd take the Cowboys in that game.
I would put them in the good category.
Okay, you have them good.
I would stay away from the game. I think Matt Patricia is not a very good coach. I think he's a good defensive guy. He has bad clock management issues right now.
Yeah.
Really bad clock management. So I would probably stay away from that game. I picked Detroit to win the North this year.
Wow.
And I love when I look smart. And right now I feel good about it.
You feel good that you're a betting man.
Absolutely.
Because we're playing if you were a betting man, and you are. A couple other teams in that average. Maybe we should create an above average category, but I'd put the Chargers, the Bears, and Tennessee kind of in that above average if there was one. Because the Chargers, look, this is coming from a guy who's grown up watching a lot of Chargers games, okay? The most inconsistent team in the NFL, I think, year in and year out. I knew they were going to lose to the Broncos last weekend. That is a classic Chargers loss.
Really?
It was in Los Angeles. 3/4 of the fans, Broncos fans, orange everywhere. I think they're a mid, you know, at best an above average team.
They are the Cowboys of the AFC in the terms of they are always going to disappoint you somehow.
Wow.
They're going to find. I mean, they are. I mean, how is that wrong? Like the Cowboys disappoint you somehow every year.
This is the year, Chop. This is the year.
This is the year.
The Bears and Titans, Chargers. Any of them, you're okay with all of that?
You know, I would probably put the Chargers in the good category. They have their lumps. Bears, I don't buy it. The Bears were smoking mirrors last year. And Tennessee is so boring. However, they're that random team that can beat you. So,
I think all those teams being in the, you know, the average category where you originally had them, average to above average, I would say those teams are average.
Okay. Yeah. Taking the Cowboys against all three of them in a neutral field today?
I would.
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, the Bears' defense scares me just a touch, I would say, just because they have a chance to take over a game. But, man, their offense stinks. You know, everybody thought Nagy was, hey, let's put him with Sean McVay. Let's put him with Sean Payton. Let's put him with Andy Reid.
Well, a couple of these backup quarterbacks, like the guy who we were just talking about in Chicago, Chase Daniel, and Mason Rudolph, they got away a little bit with like dinking and dunking in their first game or two, and everybody kind of thought, oh, you can do this, and then everybody stopped that up pretty quick.
Yeah, I just don't buy it completely. I would take the Cowboys and feel pretty comfortable about that. Now we transition to the good teams. These are the teams who I feel like it would be a little harder, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, the first good team on the list, the Dallas Cowboys. I have them in the good category. I'm not ranking them worst to best here. I'm saying they're in this tier with the other teams. The Seattle Seahawks, the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Francisco 49ers, the Minnesota Vikings, Indianapolis Colts, Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills, Rams, Carolina, and Houston.
Okay.
All right. All right. Which of these teams, one more time, Dallas, Seattle, Philly, San Fran, Minnesota, Indy, Baltimore, Buffalo, Rams, Carolina, Houston. There are a lot of good teams in the NFL. All those teams, I think we can agree, any of them not good to you that you would put in the average or below category?
Yeah, Minnesota, Carolina.
I have questions about Carolina.
Their
and
defense
Minnesota,
is
yeah.
unbelievable, and Christian McCaffrey is on pace for almost 2,800 yards. It's never been done.
He's got more all-purpose. He's got more combined yards than
anyone.
Than Zeke and Gurley combined.
Combined. That's right. I saw Gurley's tweet yesterday was fantastic. Hey, don't lump us in there. Well, we're going to because you just got paid a lot of money.
But they're not I don't think they're a good team. They're not a contender for the playoffs to me. Same for Minnesota. Minnesota is a disaster right now. They beat the Giants. The only thing that saved Mike Zimmer's job this past week was the Giants win. Other than that,
I just think Minnesota's run game with Gary Kubiak designing things. Dalvin Cook looks like the best running back other than Christian McCaffrey in the NFL this year so far.
I mean,
I just think that they have a chance to be special.
Right, they had no quarterback.
They look pretty good, but again, you're right. It is the Giants, and the Giants have been terrible. Yeah, are you buying Buffalo at all? Are you buying San Francisco? That's the team that, to me, is really intriguing because, man, they're undefeated, but boy, I don't know. You know, I really
RJ
have a hard
time. Looking smart a week ago, he put out the power rankings and had San Fran in there, and I chastised him for it.
Wow.
I have to take a pretty big L on that one, RJ. That was a good call by you, perhaps, now.
I mean,
they just beat the Browns, and everybody's beating the Browns right now.
They did, but they were coming off a bye week, too.
They mollywopped the Browns.
The numbers showed they were a good quality football team. I would put them in the good category at this point. In the same category as the Cowboys and Philadelphia. I think you have Seattle too low.
Seattle too low.
Yep.
Okay. How do we feel about Indianapolis, Buffalo, Rams?
I would take Indianapolis. Ooh, that's a tough one. They're good. They're not great. They're good. That was a good win they had. If they had lost that game, they're average.
Okay.
All right.
It's a huge win for them to be able to boost them up to our good category.
It's a big win. I'm with you. I think Buffalo's fine there.
Yeah. Okay. Taking the Cowboys against any of these teams? All of these teams? None of these teams?
Certainly, I would take them over Minnesota. I would take them over Carolina.
Carolina. What about the Rams?
I would not take them over the Rams.
Okay, Buffalo?
I think they might win the game, but I'm not betting the mortgage.
Houston?
Okay. Houston. That's the tough one because Watson can take things over. Because I think Deshaun Watson is just the best of the best right now in the NFL. The way he's playing, he's carrying that team. O-line hasn't been good, but he's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch the game against Seattle, Philly, San Fran, or Houston. I don't think they would necessarily lose them all, but I wouldn't bet the mortgage on them winning it. I would bet the mortgage they win Carolina and Minnesota.
I feel really good about their chances beating San Francisco. San Francisco runs the ball really well, but I still don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think, we're in a situation now where this Cowboys defense is kind of in a make-or-break situation. We're going to find out real quick if they're good or not. Finally, the great category. I have three teams in the great category right now. I have Kansas City, New England, and the Saints right now in the great category. The Saints doing all of this with Teddy Bridgewater playing. I'm a big Teddy fan. Covered him in college at Louisville. Think he's a good player. Got to know his mom really well. She has a great story. Beat breast cancer. All that. It's been awesome to watch. But the way they've been able to win games without their starting quarterback right now, their defensive line dominating the Cowboys offensive line, watching that was impressive. And then Kamara can just take a game over. That's why I'm putting them in that Kansas City, New England category. Do we feel okay with that? And you said you wanted to have Seattle in that group as well. You would put Seattle in the great category?
Yeah. Russell Wilson's having the best start to an NFL season since the merger.
He's been amazing, man.
Yeah, he has. So you have to put them there.
I just don't know if their defense is quite good enough.
May not be, but neither's ours.
That's why they're in the good.
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to figure the Saints out. This is tough for me to figure out because what they're doing with Teddy is nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, are you ready to give Sean Payton some serious credit here?
But
you're a Payton hater.
to me, Kansas City and New England have to be on a different level than everybody else.
Okay. You're putting them a step above.
Yeah, like, so they're in the exceptional category.
Exceptional category. I like that.
Yeah. You want to put New Orleans in the great category by themselves, fine. All right. But New England and Kansas City have to be in the exceptional category.
Exceptional category. Well, yeah. One of the teams we talked about being in the bad category, the New York Jets, I'm not so sure they're quite as bad as we're thinking, and there's a reason why. We're going to talk about why I'm a little nervous about this Cowboys game against the Jets. That's coming up when we're back on 105.3 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ty Montgomery motions into the backfield. They'll run an end-around flip. And turning the corner at the 20-yard line, Vincent Smith. He's at the 10-5 touchdown. Recently signed Vincent Smith. A little end-around flip from Luke Falk.
That is Jets radio on the call there. And a little reason why I am maybe a little more concerned than most for the Dallas Cowboys this weekend is not Luke Falk. It's actually the person who's replacing Luke Falk back in at quarterback for the Jets this weekend, Sam Darnold. Savior Sam, they once referred to him as. As someone who watches USC football quite a bit, I can tell you he was a great player in college. And I'm not so sure the Jets are as bad as their record indicates. Okay, obviously, the record bad. They haven't won a game yet. But their three of their four losses have come without Sam Darnold. They've been against really good teams. I mean, even if Savior Sam had played, do they really have a chance, do you think, in games against New England and against the New York Jets? No chance. They probably don't lose to the Browns as badly as they did. But I think that there's a chance they're a little better. Remember, the game that Sam Darnold played, and he played with mononucleosis now.
Oh, no.
Which, have you ever had mono?
I have.
So have I.
Yeah.
You ever had mono, Roy?
I have not.
Okay. I had it in second grade.
Second grade?
Hey, man. You know, like.
Who are you making out with in second grade to get mono?
I got
to
tell you, Mrs. Yeager's class, big fan.
You made out with the entire class.
Well, all right, Mrs. Yeager. Way to go, dude.
Not Mrs. Yeager.
Oh.
Okay. The class. We're okay. Gonna go ahead and just
the
go.
The whole
leave it
class.
You guys were all kissing, well, or was this just a situation where like someone put their mouth on the water fountain?
Oh, that's what I was referring to. Is that not what you guys were talking about?
Okay.
It was the water.
That's
fountain.
That's what we got
deal.
To.
All yeah, right. Mononucleosis, the real deal, man. I mean, that'll take you out. And I was down for the count for a month. I mean, it was. When did you have it?
Like 5 years ago.
I mean, that's.
What does it do?
What's it do? It enlarges your spleen. That's
it. And
it
just exhausts you.
And your spleen is where?
It's in your stomach. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
All right, I looked it up. It's near your stomach. It's kind of right underneath your left breast.
Okay.
It's like right in there, kind of, I guess, in the lung area. So a place potentially where you could see a lot of contact in a professional football game.
Yeah,
of course.
So it's bad. I mean, if you have an enlarged spleen, it could get burst if you're playing a contact sport. That's why they don't want you to do it. So I mean, they want you to kind of stay basically homebound if you can. I don't remember it taking a lot of my energy away. I didn't lose any weight, unfortunately, on it. Everybody else seemed to. I didn't seem to, but so he's back. Look, the Jets were a 7.5 win team in Vegas. That was their win total over under. So that does not strike. Mind you, the Cowboys were 8.5.
Wow.
Jumped to 9.
That puts it in perspective right there.
Okay, so somebody is wrong, either Vegas or us, because we all had the Cowboys at 10 wins. So something is amiss here. But the point is that the Jets are not an awful, awful team. The Cowboys are more than a touchdown favorite.
Yes. Opened at 7.5. It's down to 7. So people.
Yeah,
not
there's
really. it's right down the middle.
And as we get closer to game time, you'll get some of that sharp coming in. Things will change a little bit more. But Sam Darnold playing is an absolute factor. It makes this I don't want to say a competitive game. It makes it an interesting game. I still think the Cowboys win, and I still think they win. I don't know that I would touch the spread. That'd be interesting to see. I'll probably stay away from it, but This is not a pushover.
I agree with you, because if you look at the only game they've played with Sam Darnold this year, they lost to the Bills by 1 point. They were in the game.
They were up 16-0 in that game.
Exactly right.
They had a defensive
touchdown.
And at
the time, we're looking at it and we're saying, oh, the Jets lose to a bad team. But now, we just talked about, we're putting the Bills in the good category in the If I Were a Betting Man segment.
Yeah.
To lose by a point, have a shot to win the game, and Darnold not to be 100% at the time. Not to mention, this team still has Le'Veon Bell. And I know he's only getting about 2.5 yards per touch right now, but I wonder if those numbers and those stats have been diminished because other teams have clearly been able to just load up to stop the run. Are you really buying, if you're the Patriots or the Eagles, that Luke Falk is going to go out there and beat you in Foxborough? No chance. If you're Bill Belichick, you're basically saying, there's no way I'm allowing Le'Veon Bell to win this game today for the Jets or to pull this upset, and you're shutting that down.
Right. The other option, the other thing there with Le'Veon is that his offensive line may not be very good, and he didn't play last year. Like, you know, you can't just skip years of games. It doesn't work like that where you skip a year, then your body comes back, and it's like you're a year younger.
Jason Witten looks all right.
Jason Witten is a run 5 yards turnaround guy.
Hey, man.
It's a totally different game.
It's a great gig if you can get it. I'll tell you that right now.
It is. What's he done the last 2 weeks, though?
He's been awesome.
Yeah, I bet he's been.
Yeah. No, I mean, what's your concern level going into this game? Because Cowboys favored by 7. I'm not sure. I probably would still take Dallas, you know, but I don't. If I were a betting man, I don't know if I would bet this game just because I don't think we know enough about the Jets. Like, I for some reason, there was positive momentum for this Jets team coming into the season, and it felt like they had a chance to be one of those surprise teams coming into the year. And I thought Darnold had a chance to really take a big step forward this year. Here we are now, and he's back. The Cowboys clearly, look, this is, they're all important, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one's crucial.
Yeah,
man, with the schedule ahead coming up, you have to win games like against the Jets.
My concern level is probably at a 4 tops.
All right,
they're going to lose the game 3 or 4. I mean, it's not very high. In terms of the spread, like I said, I don't want to. The Jets' lines are going to be skewed because they didn't have Darnold. And, you know, a lot of these lines are done by computers. That's going to skew everything. So I wouldn't touch it.
I haven't been here hanging with you guys since before the season began. Your confidence level in this Cowboys team, how much of it was swayed by the first 2 games, 3 games, the great start they had, the last 2? I mean, are you peaking and valleying this thing? Has it kind of been about where you've been? Because boy, I was trying to find out where the Super Bowl parade was going to be, you know, like for those first three weeks, like where the, and now it's like, I heard you guys yesterday talking to Jerry, you know, and Jerry coming on saying that he wouldn't take the bet, or maybe he misspoke on that. I don't know exactly what he said directly to you about it, but about Jason Garrett, potentially, you know, I guess Vegas has him as the second highest odds to be fired next in the NFL. It does feel like things have drastically shifted with 2 losses to 2 very good teams, and, you know, the Saints game was really close.
Yeah,
the Packers game was a terrible start. But, man, if Amari Cooper doesn't have that ball bounce off his hands and he catches and scores, it's a completely different football game.
Yeah, but it's still 31-3.
That was a bad first half.
Yeah, you know,
that,
like, it is a different game. There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, they still went down 31-3. I can't put it all on Amari's catch or drop, but – you know, I've been guilty of ebbing and flowing like everybody else. I had him as a playoff team, but not a Super Bowl contender to start the year. I thought there was 4 teams and everybody else. After the first 3 games, I was like, okay, I could see this team making a run. Like, they just look so good. And they've looked so bad in the last 2. They just look, their defense is not very good. Their offense, when they don't have everything, their offense sputters a bit. You know, Tyron not being there definitely impacted it. Michael Gallup the week before definitely impacted it. So I think they're right where they've started. They're a playoff team, and that's as far as I'm willing to go with it right now.
We're going to talk a little bit coming up at 7:40 about our confidence level in Dak Prescott, how much that's changed from week 1 to now heading into the Cowboys' 6th game of the season this week against the New York Jets. overall, you know, I thought this team looked phenomenal the first 3 weeks. I wondered if it was the level of opponent, the quality of the opponent. Clearly, that played a huge role into this thing. But as I watched the games the last 2 weeks, you know, to me, it doesn't feel like they're far off. I feel like a lot of the mistakes that have happened, I mean, you make crucial mistakes that I'm not sure you could count on if you're, for some reason, rooting against the Cowboys right now. The fumbles in the New Orleans games by Jason Witten and Ezekiel Elliott. I don't think that happens almost again the rest of the season. The Amari Cooper play, yes, you're right. The 31-3 thing, I get it. But it was after the game plan. They were down 14-0 like that because mm-hmm. of that interception. And then all of a sudden you look up and they're down two scores. And they shifted the game plan, which I thought was a huge mistake. I think they got away from the run way too early against a bad Packers run defense. But overall, a lot of these mistakes are very fixable. And before the season, would any of us have said that they were definitely going to win both of those games against the Saints in New Orleans and against the Packers here in Aaron Rodgers?
I had them starting 7 or 8-1.
Okay.
And the one loss was to New Orleans. But I assumed Drew Brees was going to play. When he was out, when it was deemed that he was going to get knocked out, I thought they were going to be 8 or 9-0.
Okay.
So their first loss was going to be like New England or whatever.
But credit to New Orleans because they have not taken a huge step down. And the Cowboys defense did not allow them in the end zone a single time in that game.
To one of the things you mentioned, though, and the Autoflex Leasing fan text is weighing in on this as well at 877-881-1053. Is this a mistake-prone team? Sean was arguing this point yesterday that, okay, if you want to make the case that if you just take two of those interceptions back, well, Dak Prescott also threw two interceptions that were nullified because of penalties. So, and the Autoflex Leasing fan text is saying this as well, the Cowboys are not a mistake-prone team. At least they haven't been during Dak's tenure. That is why I wouldn't expect them to continue turning the ball over at the rate they have over the last two games. That from the 817.
But the thing is they're doing what guys like RJ have been calling for them to do, right? The analytics crowd has been saying, throw the ball down the field.
Dang right.
Take chances. Throw the ball down the field.
Which means what?
Which means you're going to risk potentially having more turnovers. Bingo. I don't think that impacts Ezekiel Elliott fumbling on that 4th-and-1 where he really was down if you even go back and review the play. I can't believe it wasn't overturned.
Thought so too.
Jason Witten has fumbled, I believe, 8 times in his career. One of them includes where they were losing the last play of the game and they were lateraling the ball over the field and he happened to be the last one touching the ball. He never fumbles, okay? So I don't think you could bank on that, but I do think that we're going to see more interceptions from Prescott because, I mean, they're doing what you want them to do,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, and I'm fine with that. I am okay with the error at the risk that they're taking. I the risk reward is there for me. So I love this with Romo. I never got on Romo for picks that because I accepted that that's coming with a gunslinger. That's just what's going to happen. So it doesn't bother me. I think they're still making the right move. They're still doing the right thing.
I think it needs to be game plan specific. And I think last week it clearly showed to me, you know, Dak after the game. And again, we'll get into this a little more coming up at 7:40, the confidence level in him and really what's changed with Dak Prescott. But he talked after the game about he kept using the phrase that the team was smelling themselves too much, you know, feeling themselves too much, essentially feeling, you know, too confident. And, you know, that's what it's looked like overall for this team to me right now. The last two games, after feeling really great the way they played the first 3 weeks of the season, they've come out almost wanting to like put on a show. And I know Jason Garrett has tried to squash that a little bit with what he said. But you know what? From what I've seen, my eyes watching the game, it sure does feel like a group that feels like they're in that New England, Kansas City category and is trying to put on a display. And sometimes you have to when you're playing against the 5th or 6th worst run defense in the NFL in the Green Bay Packers. I would have loved to have seen Zeke have 25 touches in that game. My colleague at NBC5, Newey Scruggs, just tweeted out last night that he thinks that it needs to change, that they need to throw the ball more to Zeke. Right now, 12.2% of his pass routes this season for Ezekiel Elliott, he's been targeted on. So he's been running a lot more routes, but he's only been throwing the ball 1 out of 10 times that he's out running routes. You don't want to see Zeke catch the football? Because I would love to see that get worked into the game a little more.
You know, it's just when running backs catch it, it's just like the last option, right? You know, you throw it downfield as opposed to laterally. It's just like the last. Now, if it's better than, you know, Zeke catching the ball is better than, like, you know, just a handoff, I think, because he can, you know, he's potentially picking up 7 yards.
I mean, you're not wrong that it's the last option, but it also is an option that if teams are taking away everything else from you, it's an option you should be able to take advantage of. I would think if the Cowboys found themselves in a situation where Zeke is being guarded by a linebacker, they would think they could win that matchup.
That's the thing that I look at is I say if the ball's not going into Amari Cooper's hands, the next best person.
Or Michael Gallup.
I probably would put Zeke even ahead of Michael Gallup, that I would want to see the ball in his hands just because I think he has the chance to make somebody miss, break a tackle, and pick up chunk plays.
But he hasn't broken a lot of tackles this season.
Right.
I will say that about Zeke.
He hasn't. And if he breaks a tackle, he's breaking the tackle at the 1 yard downfield. He's picking up because he's catching the ball at the line of scrimmage. Right, if Gallup catches the ball, he's catching the ball 14 yards downfield, breaks one tackle, he's already up to 25 yards.
Gallup has been awesome. I cannot wait to watch this team play against the Jets this weekend, and then next week they play on Sunday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to be an amazing game. And speaking of Philly, once again, the city of Philadelphia proves, I think, it's the most annoying sports fan base in America. We'll talk about why coming up on 105.3 The Fan. We will check in with our Cowboys insider, Mike Fisher, coming up at 7:20. I am Pat Doney from NBC5, filling in for Sean Sharif, who is out sick this morning, alongside RJ, Roy, Troy. Good morning to you all. Another beautiful day in North Texas, man. That was unbelievable yesterday. The last 2 days, the weather has been
starting to get the really nice stuff.
I'm telling you, man.
This weekend's going to be awesome in the 60s.
I know. It's going to be the 40s in the morning on Saturday, which is...
I don't like that.
We have gone from highs in the upper 90s to highs in the upper 60s potentially in like 5 days, which is the most Texas thing ever.
On the way home, I went to go play golf yesterday. I got there. I played 9 holes in an hour. It was amazing.
That is incredible.
I went home. There was nobody there. I was like, I was stunned.
How is there nobody there? I mean, if there was ever a day made to play golf in North Texas.
Middle of the day on a Tuesday.
It was yesterday.
It was 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. There was nobody on the course.
Hey, man. One of the joys of being a morning sports talk show radio host, I guess, right?
There you go.
You got a middle of the day Tuesday deal. Hey, next Sunday, not this Sunday, the Cowboys will take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football on NBC5. Hope you'll join us there and watch the game on TV while you also listen to it some on 105.3 The Fan, of course. But once again, the city of Philadelphia has proven, at least to me, that it is the most annoying sports fan town in America. I've never understood this idea that it's exciting and entertaining and enjoyable to just be obnoxious. And the town seems to embrace that, and that's just its thing. That's just the way, I mean, as you guys know, Sean calls them filthy. You know, whenever
I don't think he invented that one, but yes, that's what he called.
He's the one who I hear referred to them as filthy.
Absolutely.
They are proud of being vile.
There you go. And I've experienced that. We'll get to that here in just a second. But this is the latest example of it. And to me, it's like, of course. All right. A tweet from @Frank_Saravalli. He says, true story and maybe the most Philly thing ever. The Flyers have added a rage room to the Wells Fargo Center, the arena where the Philadelphia Flyers play. It's where participants wearing protective gear can smash, break, and unleash their rage upon everyday items like televisions and dishes using bats, sledgehammers, and more.
Did you say rage room?
It's a rage room.
Got it.
Ah, oh, nice. I see what you did there.
Very nice.
So, when the Flyers goalie gives up a goal in the second period that Frank is not happy about in section 104, it's, hey, I'm going to head to the rage room real quick and take it out on the TV in there.
Yeah, Frank's a really good Philadelphia name. I grew up about 40 miles from Philly.
Okay.
And this is not surprised. This is par for the course. You know, these are the people I knew. And I went to the first ever sporting event at Lincoln Financial Field.
Did you now?
It was a soccer game.
Oh.
Okay.
Everybody remembers that.
Right? And there was a concourse area in the corner of one of the end zones, and there's a railing, and the police officer comes up to this guy and says, sir, did you leave? He didn't really say, sir, did you leave? He said whatever he said.
Yeah.
And the guy just stands there.
Uh-oh.
5 minutes later, he said, sir, I need you to get out of here. You can't just stand here. Which was really weird because I was standing like 10 feet away from him. I was just standing there. He comes back a third time. Sir, I need you to leave. And the guy looks at him and doesn't move. So the cop handcuffs him to the railing and walks away.
Wow.
And now, if you did that now,
Walks away?
He walks away. So he just left him there, handcuffed there. If you did that now, it'd be all over social
media. Is he
still there?
I mean, we checked in on this?
I have not checked in on this guy. Quite certain he's gone.
Hasn't missed a game since 2000, whatever.
Hasn't missed a game in however many years it's been. But yeah, that's Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like even the cops. I saw a baseball game at Veterans Stadium, the old one.
All right.
I saw cops chase a guy up the stairs, up the aisle, and beat him with nightsticks. It was like shocking.
And everybody around is like, oh, yeah.
They were cheering.
It's Junior.
Oh, they were cheering the guy.
They were cheering the guy. Perfect.
So that's what it is.
My Philly story, 3 years ago, our photographer at NBC5 Sports, Noah Bullard, and I, we go to a lot of the Cowboys road games. We travel together a lot for these sporting events. And we were at the link before a Cowboys-Eagles game, right? And one of the things that we do to kind of add to our stories is we get creative, kind of cool shots before the game, different fans, you know, so we're seeking out during this tailgate, right? And you know how it is, man. You know, in the middle of the parking lot outside of an Eagles game, you can understand and guess what that scene is like, right? They're going nuts, and they know we're from Dallas because they don't recognize our gear, you know, our NBC5 gear, and they're booing us like crazy, and there's a section of fans at this Eagles bus that's just doing the E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles chant over and over and over again. So Noah decides that he's going to hand our microphone with a wireless mic cube on the bottom of it to one of the fans to hold to get a shot for us to use. And we could say, hey, see, look, it was a ferocious crowd, a crazy atmosphere. And they start doing the E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles chant. And at the end of it, the gentleman at the front holding the microphone, who I believe had a beer or 14, decided to then Gronk spike our microphone.
Oh, nice.
With the $600 mic cube on the bottom of the thing. Definitely broke it. Definitely.
Yeah,
it broke.
But that's an NBC mic. You guys have This Is Us money. That's like nothing.
Look, man.
Yeah, but they're
that's
like us,
nothing.
Man. They take their successful shows like, you know, our show, and they put that money into other failing ventures like across the country, and that's how the company ends up struggling.
Whatever it is, we're doing fine. But the point is when we're in Philadelphia and now we no longer have a wireless microphone to use for the rest of the day because drunk Eagles guy decides to Gronk spike it, you know, not one of our finer moments in the time.
Well, you'll be thankful for this break room then. And by the way, I don't think this is a great business model. There was one in Addison for a little bit that closed down because they weren't getting enough action. There's one in Denton now called the Break Room. But to put one inside of a stadium,
amazing.
That is a brilliant idea, and that will make a ton of money.
I think it's going to have a lot of play, especially in a city like Philadelphia.
Well, not just for Philly. If they had one here in Dallas, and
there might be some
the
fans
Stars gave up a
that.
Goal, or the Mavs gave up a big shot, or the Cowboys with all the space.
Also, a great idea, maybe for the fans who want to go into something like that, if they've partaken in a few beverages, and there's a new bar
there's a new bar in St. Louis. They need to have this concept here. This is an open bar for an hour. You pay by the hour. You don't pay by the drink. You pay a fee for the hour, and you get as many drinks as you want. It's an all-you-can-drink for the hour. Sounds highly dangerous,
of course,
for said bartender's TABC license, or whatever it is, the MABC, as would be in St. Louis. But it lets you pay by the hour instead of per drink. It absolutely sounds like heaven. I would basically sit down at the table, pay by the hour, and I would say, bring me a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes.
Yeah, well, you're normally used to paying by the hour. So my question
is... I don't think so.
My question is that... they're definitely going to have to somehow figure out how many people are consuming what drinks at what times. Like you said, you can't just go in there for an hour and just go, you know, crazy and just shot. No, right? Unless you're Pat.
No,
taking communion
every 5 minutes. That sounds like a Tuesday, you know,
yeah,
in our house for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, but so what do you think the cost would be here for an hour?
That's my question, because it depends on what liquor is available
here, right?
I mean, there's got to be some limitations.
Yeah. Is it Dripping Springs vodka? Now that Sean's not here and I'll take his account?
It could also have Jameson.
Oh, it could be.
So here's what you have.
Miller Lite, the official beer of the Dallas Cowboys.
You have a beer, wine, and certain type of mixed drink category, and you also have top shelf cocktails and top shelf booze.
Top shelf.
Yep, top shelf. So you have two categories. What do you think the cost is for the hour?
For the hour? I'm going to say, well, I'm assuming there's a rule that you can't order more than one drink at a time. So that has to be in there, right? Because somebody is going to be like, hey, I'll take 18 of whatever.
You That's know, true.
Like, so it has to be one at a time. So if it's one of a time, I'm going to say it's somewhere in the range of $75.
Ooh, okay. $75. See, one drink at a time, how many can you consume in 1 hour? One drink at a time?
A high-level cocktail, I mean, you're talking $15 to $20 typically per, right?
Yeah, wow, Mr. Uptown.
That's a high-level one, right? Like, I mean,
yeah. I'm thinking, okay, one drink at a time. I'm thinking in an hour, that's about 4 drinks an hour for me. For Sean, that's about 26 drinks an hour. I'm going to say it's like just a flat $40 fee an hour.
Beer, wine, and certain types of mixed drinks, $10.
Okay.
Top shelf booze, 20.
Oh.
20.
Is there 20 an intercom station in St. Louis?
For the hour. Now, it says the bartenders are, I think there is. Bartenders are trained to give Pedialyte to customers who appear too intoxicated. This is amazing. Oh, I've got to go here.
Come on.
Like $10, all you can drink beer?
And Pedialyte? This is great.
Yeah.
Wait. Are you sure? Do they give it, Sean, do they give that out?
That is a true stat, fact, comma, semicolon, not accurate, period, parentheses.
Such a great drop.
Sounds like he just had a great time at that bar location.
The place is called Open Concept. It accepts walk-ins. People are encouraged to reserve a chunk of time ahead of their visit, and you get a text once you arrive that keeps you updated on your race against the clock. So as you're counting down to 5 minutes, you're chugging. You say, give me a can. I'm gonna shotgun this thing.
This is so dangerous. This is a bad idea. This is horrible.
Joey Chestnut, you know, of top shelf alcohol is gonna really enjoy this. This has got a chance to be a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, but that sounds great. Like, it sounds like a great idea, but when you realize it's $10 or $20, that could be really, really bad. That could be really, really
bad. I think it's got a chance to be a big problem. Hey, we have the top 7 storylines coming up at 7 o'clock. I think there's a few things to talk about for sure in the sports world. This is the best time of year, isn't it? I mean, everything.
October and March are the best sports months.
I mean, and the NBA is getting ready to start, and the NHL's underway. The Stars finally get a win last night after 3 disappointing losses in a row. We're going to break it all down at our top 7 when 105.3 The Fan is back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.